So, good afternoon, evening.
Good afternoon slash evening to you,
yes.
too.
So, everyone who's listening, you're listening to The Inside Scoop. I am Cherie Darton, and I have my cohort, my partner. She saves me every time, Anastasia. And Marcus,
Amorous Pollock.
It's all messed up. My brain is still fried.
It's all right. I have a beautiful name and it's memorable sometimes.
I just woke up though. So I'm still like half asleep.
We got to get you some coffee.
No. It's too late. Too late in the day. And Marcus just ran to get something for me. So, second week back and I'm still, I guess I'm going through an adjustment phase.
Yeah.
So I took the summer off thinking that I was going to do some major changes to Scoop, and none of the changes happened until now.
Oh, so you're probably getting slammed with all the different changes.
I planned everything out. I mapped it out. Everything was supposed to happen between July and August, and everything is happening this week. I feel crazy. Because I took off the entire summer. I planned everything out to the T. And it's funny because Shorty, who is my good, good friend who worked with Trudy Haynes forever, we have this big argument all of the time about planning, you know, and planning and ineffectively planning. You know, like you plan so much that you outplan yourself. And that's what I did. So today's show is there are a couple of things going on. We are now entering Domestic Violence Month, and it's October. And if you are a listener and you listen to The Inside Scoop frequently, you know that I am a survivor. I am a product of that type of lifestyle and situation, and I've made it through, thank God. I've seen it as a parent, as a mother, as a daughter. I've seen several different sides. So I always hold this near and dear. We have both of my daughters are coming on today. My daughter, Charmel, which is my actual daughter, and then my adopted daughter, Tiana Brown, who is the author of Please Don't Touch Me There, is also, she's on the line already waiting for me. But we're going to get to her in 1 second. Hi, sweetie. But we have these things that are going on. In addition to that, we have Mr. Steve Sato is going to call in, and he's going to talk about his program because it's next week, and we need to actually share that information with people. And let's do a quick recap of Scoop and some of the things that are coming up because I need to get that out because everything that's pretty much in here is going to be up and coming and running in the next 4 or 5 days, actually, before we come back next week. So first of all, Scoop's personal events, because we now have a nonprofit, and this is the first week of our events. So on Wednesday, we have our COVID event, which is beyond COVID, and the impetus, the reason beyond living beyond COVID, this program is an open community discussion. Why? Because most of us have lived beyond COVID. And none of us have talked about it. We have not had, and I don't know if people do it amongst themselves. If you have like a forum of like 10, 15, 20 people who actually talk about the pros, the cons, the things that you saw that somebody else may not have seen. I'm not a doctor, but I am a publisher and I am a person who cares about people's ideas and communication and the things that touch us all. So we're going to have this open conversation. We're bringing in some actual professional people. We'll be having doctors, and it has to happen once a month. So each month, starting Wednesday, we're going to have Beyond COVID. And then here's another one, the exact next day, Thursday. Remember, I said everything is happening this week. Thursday, we have the voting. We have a voter session and educating voters. So we've teamed up with the OV Cato, and the Coalition in Defense of Democracy. And they're coming out to Scoop, and they'll be there on October the 6th and also October the 11th to educate our voters. This is a quick start. It's like you just get thrown in and thrust into a whole bunch of different things and narratives. And we're starting out this week. And as I said, I planned all of this for it to start earlier, but everything kind of catapulted and it just fell into my lap all at the same time. So then, one more thing, because this is Women in Business Month. So we're here, the end of this month, on October 23rd, Scoop Vision is having its very first, Women in Business Communications Platform
panel
discussion. That's going to be huge. So we have four or maybe five different people coming out to talk to us about women in business, some of our challenges. We have someone's going to talk about starting a business. We have someone who's going to talk about coaching. We're going to have somebody talk about PR. And then hopefully we can get someone to come out and talk about business taxes. So we're going to cover quite a few things in this two-hour nice brunch.
And I know you know somebody who's perfect for the taxes.
Yes. So I actually have everybody lined up. I'm not actually ready because I don't have the advertisement and stuff posted yet to say who all these people is. That'll be available this week. And that's a lot.
That is a lot. When it rains, it pours.
No, this is beautiful rain. This is not that cold stuff.
Yeah,
out there.
Is not the cold stuff. No. But this is like this is what you've been working towards. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, everything is coming, but it kind of hit all at the same time. So, with that said, oops, did I miss something? I think I did. Steve Sattell, he'll be calling in a couple of minutes. He has this week, actually on my birthday next Sunday, the 7th annual Philadelphia Legacy Portrait Awards. So every year he has portraits done and he puts them up of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people. They actually have an artist who draws these pictures. Beautiful people who are beautiful because of what they've done, their legacy and the things that they've given to us, which is amazing.
Yeah.
These are people who have worked their entire lives to give to the community and dedicated their lives to the community. And they're blessed because most of them are, thank God, still alive. We're honoring them while they're here. And they're given portraits. And I know that one of my biggest things is at some point in my life, I want to have a portrait done of myself. Like that takes a lot to actually sit and have somebody do a photo of you or to pull. So that's a big thing. It's a real big thing.
It's a huge thing. And I kind of want to ask, how he chooses his subjects.
Oh, he'll be calling in. You can ask him. So, hi, girls. Are you there? Are you both there? Y'all not talking to me?
They're being shy.
Tiana hung up. She got disconnected. Did you hang up on my daughter?
I think he did.
Hi, baby.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, hi, you back?
Yes, I'm back.
You heard me get him? I'm like, did you hang up on my daughter?
I don't think
the look on his face right now, he's like, ah!
Everybody who knows, I go hard for mine. It's like, yo, did you hang up on my baby? Hi, ladies.
Hi, good evening. So I hope everybody's well.
Yeah, so neither of you were here with me. Sharmell had to go home with Sabir, and Tiana, I'm not making you come out for nothing.
Yes, thank you.
So the reason for this is I'm sure you both know that we are 2 or 3 days into Domestic Violence Month. And, back in March, we had our beautiful event, and we gave away your book, and we talked, and we had a good, intimate conversation with some women about the details of your book and some of the things that they can or will struggle through. And Marcus is shaking his head, so I want people to join in with this because I'm not leading this conversation by myself.
No, it was a very impactful, get together gathering to, to discuss everything.
Definitely.
Because, yeah, you don't know, like, unless if it's talked about, how afflicted our society is.
Right.
So, the fact that you wrote the book and, and got it out there, like, that's, one of the steps. Like, has there been discussions before? Obviously there has, but on a grand scale where, you're opening up and creating a safe environment for people to come who either have been affected personally, or, know somebody and they bring somebody who might need that extra step, that comfort level,
right,
that cushion, is immensely impactful.
So a couple of things. So this month, because our goal, ladies, was that we were going to carry it and do some other things and touch on and keep going. But of course, life got in the way. Life gets in the way all of the time. It does. It's just not fair. It's just life just tackles all of us. It just throws these boomerangs. Life got in the way and we didn't actually do what we wanted to, but that didn't stop us from still doing it. So this month, hopefully, with starting with today's show, and we can do a little bit of proposals and put some stuff in the paper, my goal is to hopefully give out some of those books, because I still have some.
We do.
To give out some more of the books and also to start scheduling out. Because what's amazing, and Tiana, you know this is October. We kind of met last November.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we come full circle. It's a whole year.
That's beautiful.
And we started mapping things out in November for Women's History Month in March, which is when we had the event. And we're going to have another event this year, just so you know. It's coming.
Awesome.
Because all of us will be through all of our life changes by then. We should all be settled back into some type of normal. And we can actually go hard.
Amen.
So we're going to do another event again in March. And hopefully next year we can do one in October and March.
Great.
Yeah. So we have lots of work to do, ladies, because this is a topic that unfortunately is near and dear to our hearts as people who are quote unquote survivors. But the reality is there's still so many people who are going through this. I mean, and it's funny, Tiana, because I think of you and Shawmel all of the time when I read the book and I was like, oh my God, I can't give this book to people. And you guys was like, people living this now. And what your little phobia has nothing to do with this world today. And I look and I see there's so many people like half naked. Like, we have this whole new sexuality freedom thing going on. And like numbers in life have plummeted. Like abuse numbers are up. And granted, coming out of COVID, I understand the Women Against Abuse representative said that because people were locked in, that numbers were likely to be extremely high.
Yeah.
Right.
But coming out of it, it's still like crazy.
Well, the other thing that I want to point out is, yes, the numbers have increased and that's not good. But, recognizing the signs, I had... One of the other things, because I don't wear enough hats, I also drive for a Lyft share company. And I, given my history as a survivor of abuse, I recognize signs that, maybe I forewent, the recognition or the red flags while it was happening. But, what do you do when you're just a random person and you're recognizing those signs? Because I had a rider who was with her significant other, and all of the signs were there. Like, if I asked her a question, he would answer, like, if I asked her to, I asked her to sit in the front seat, and he was like, why do you want her to sit in the front seat? And I was like, whoa, like you want to control where she sits? You want to control what she says? Like, what do you do when you recognize those signs coming out of, the quarantine and pandemic and COVID, given the increase of the domestic violence? Like, what do you do as somebody who just randomly sees that?
You guys want to tackle that one? Are you there, therapist daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Just, you know, a minor, like, light question.
I'm here. I'm sorry, you guys. I have a little headache, so bear with me.
Okay.
Take your time. Take your time.
Tiana, you go first. Like,
well, there's Tiana. I was right with you, like, oh, I'm here, but I have this little sinus infection.
Yeah, but, down for the count.
It's like, what's going on? But I think, and I wanted to say this because I am 6.5 months pregnant, and I had joined this app for pregnant people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'm geriatric pregnancy. That's what they call me. The OG.
Uh-huh. And the trust me, I know right? I know what that's like.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, this is different. It just feels different being married. And now I'm encountering women that unfortunately don't know that they're in abusive relationships. And that was shocking to me because, you know, I'm just like, you have no friends. This person has moved you all the way over here, and I don't even know you. Like, we're just chatting as about to be new moms. And so one of the things that I did, because I know the first thing that most people will do is maybe attack their character and say this, I would never. And see, I'm never going to do that because I don't know your circumstances. I don't know what you grew up watching, because a lot of times people, if they've lived this, they watch their parents live this or somebody, and this is just comfortable for them. But I did talk to her, the woman, privately, and just was like, hey, can we talk when you got some time? And she just was saying she has battled low self-esteem issues, and she's just with this man, and she doesn't know what to do. And I did offer, you know, my suggestion. She didn't have to take it, that I thought that she should maybe look up what domestic violence is. Because maybe if on her own time, seeing, you know, the signs of the emotional abuse, that she can see for herself, like, this is not just somebody trying to tear me down. And then I said, just for your own happiness, or what do you do for your own happiness, and would you consider talking to a therapist? And, you know, just, I've kept in contact with her a little bit. She started doing little things, like just polishing her nails, little things for herself, but she did say that she knew after researching and talking to other people that she's in a bad situation, and she agreed to get help. Mm. I really hope that she does. Everybody's not going to be receptive to your approach, you know, so I try to be very careful with somebody who has no idea that they're being domestically abused, because maybe they don't have the black eye. So that it's like, what are you talking about? It's like, mm-hmm. You can't control your own money. You can't think for yourself. You know, that is control. You know, you're isolated, but they just don't. When you say domestic violence, they're looking for slit necks, mm-hmm. teeth falling out. And it's like, no, that's coming later.
Yeah.
That was, right. Yeah. You know, it's a gateway. It's like, it starts with breaking you down to somebody has full ownership over how you feel about yourself. And they will just control you. So, you know, I just try to take a sensitive approach to it, share some personal experiences that open to it, but also let them open up their eyes and start asking questions and maybe have them think, do you feel comfortable after somebody says something like that? Or would you, I give scenarios, would you feel comfortable, say you had a long day and he came home and said, hey, you tired? Would you like me to make something? You want me to get the baby? Versus, where my food at? I've been at work all day. You ain't do nothing, dummy. Just so they can get a different perspective and maybe think outside of their closed box.
Yeah. So real quick, ladies, we're going to take a quick break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Mr. Sattell for a couple of minutes, because he's the one waiting to talk about his event. And then we'll get back and talk a little bit more about domestic violence. Please don't touch me there. And some of the things we'll be doing. All right. You've been listening to The Inside Scoop. We'll be back in a minute.
Living Beyond COVID, third Wednesday of each month. Join Scoop USA Community Education Program for Living Beyond COVID, where we'll be having a community conversation about where we were, where we are, where we will or want to be, We'll also discuss COVID topics, health and wellness, finances, education, technology, etc.
What's the Scoop? It's Scoop USA Media. Whether it's in print, online, or on the radio, get the latest updates in news, community, entertainment, politics, and more. You want to get the inside scoop? Subscribe to Scoop USA by going to ScoopUSAMedia.com. Scoop USA. Black owned. Black run. Black excellence. Get Scoop. You want to get the word out to the masses about your business, event, or service? Well, Scoop USA Media is the perfect outlet. From print to online and radio, our media conglomerate can successfully reach thousands in seconds. Promote with us and see what Scoop USA can do for you. And then tell a friend. Call 215-309-3139 or send us a message on ScoopUSAMedia.com. Scoop USA. Black owned, black run, black excellence. Get scooped.
So we're back, and we have our caller, Mr. Steve Sattel. Hello, friend. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for calling in and sharing this information with our listeners. So Steve Sattel is a big Scoop supporter. He like supports me. He's a good friend. He listens to me have my tantrums and he keeps it real. And whenever he can, he actually gave me an award. That was last year, right? No, the year before.
2 years ago. Yeah.
I got a community award and
community leadership, yeah.
Yeah. A couple years ago. It's on page 8.
Thanks.
Yeah. So this is it. This is the big event that we wait for every year. I get to get dressed up and go hang out with Steve. And this year he did an awesome thing. He's doing it on my birthday, which is even better because I get to get dressed up on my birthday and go hang out with Steve. What's
love
the
that.
Clapping for? Yeah, and get a cake.
Yeah. It's the best chocolate cake she ever had in her life.
Yeah. Marcus is smiling because that means Monday he'll have chocolate cake. Look, he's like, wait.
Now I'm wondering who the person that made the cake was.
Oh.
So
the restaurant school.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to give us some updates and give us some info? Amaris has some questions for you already. She's waiting.
Okay.
So,
well, this is the 7th annual Philadelphia Portrait and Community Award. It came about when the Democratic Convention came to town, and I had wanted to really project Philadelphia as a city of problem solvers and some of Philadelphia's history that doesn't get shared or recognized, especially in the neighborhoods. So at this point, we have done, at the end of this event, we'll have had 30 portraits of people that made major contributions to Philadelphia. And we try to promote that history as much as we can. And we appreciate the support that we get from Scoop and that we get from Philadelphia Sunday Sun, who really does a good job of educating about these people. This year, we're honored to be honoring Nikki Frank, who was the first African-American woman fencing coach in the country. She won an award at the Olympics herself and has been at Temple for 50 years. We decided to award her before she announced that she was going to retire this year. And she is still the only African-American woman fencing coach, believe it or not. And she was also the founder, co-founder of Black Women in Sport. Our second honoree is Frank Green. We honored his wife 4 years ago, and she was the first African-American male or female lacrosse coach, and she brought Temple to the Final Fours 11 times and won 3 championships at Temple. And she is also a co-founder of Black Women in Sports. And both Nikki and Frank's wife, Tina, say that one of the very important things for Black women to be successful in sport is to have the support of their husbands. And so Frank thinks that his biggest contribution was as a family man. And but he also was an editor of the New Observer and an early advertisement executive in Philadelphia. But he also his daughter, Tracy, is 2 years older than Venus Williams. And he taught her how to play tennis along with his son. And Richard used to bring his daughters to Philadelphia every summer, and they would all play together. And both Frank's children have become very successful coaches. And his oldest daughter, Tracy, is the second, is the first mm-hmm. African-American coach at Harvard, tennis coach at Harvard. And then we have Jeff Brown, who has done a lot in the community. His vision for ShopRite was to put it in communities that had not had access to food before. He specializes in a lot of ethnic foods. He supports a lot of nonprofits, and he's also hired a lot of people as they've returned from jail to try to make a successful entry, and he's done a good job of that. Lorena Marshall Blake works for Blue Cross. She's the president of the Blue Cross Foundation, and she is just a splendid, splendid healing person. And she herself had cancer and a bad bout of it that she came back from. And so she's a big, big inspiration to a lot of people. And then we have Robert Kenyatta, who was regarded as one of the best drummers in the world for a long time. Mm-hmm. You see him around town a lot, playing his congos. But he played with Wilson Pickett. He played with Marvin Gaye. He played with everybody, including the Beach Boys, believe it or not. And but since that time, when Mayor Good was the mayor, Robert Kenyatta got a grant to learn about African folk tales, and he traveled to Jamaica. And so for the last 30 years, he goes in and out of schools, and he really teaches and lets kids have confidence in playing a lot of instruments, shows them how to play together and the basic principles. But he also, does his folk tales and storytelling. And so he's loved by children all over Philadelphia. And then we have Glenn Bryant. As we all know, University of Pennsylvania is kind of an ivory tower here in Philadelphia. Glenn is also a fabulous musician and has played with George Benson and all kind of greats. But at the University of Pennsylvania, he's the vice president of community and government affairs. And he started the First Thursday meeting. So each first Thursday of the month, between 150 and 200 people from the community meet with people from University of Pennsylvania to try to bring resources such as health and that kind of thing from the university to the community. And of any of the universities, that first Thursday meeting really, really does a good job of connecting in that way. So I'm really thrilled to be able to honor Glenn Bryant with a portrait.
So all of these people are having portraits, right? All of the ones,
correct,
the people that you just named.
Right.
That's. So I was just talking about the fact that I would love to have my own portrait done at some point in my life. But because we know that I'm really hard on Cherie, I don't think that I'm there yet. So, so I keep taking all of these pictures and trying to get them together. So just in case when I do get a little bit older, I might have some cracks there that I may not like. So I might want one of these pictures. I may want one of these pictures done. Seriously, like, I think my best picture was the one that's on the front page of every paper. Like, that touch-up right there, that's amazing.
Well, that's what editing is for.
I don't think he did that much.
Well, in these portraits, we try to depict the person's personality, but also their life. So it's more than just their face.
Well, hopefully we won't.
Making the accomplishments that you're making with Scoop and those kind of things. Maybe one day we will be able to do a portrait.
You just made me say I don't want you to do my portrait, because if you have anything to do with my life, you're going to have a tired picture. Because you know my life. You don't have me looking gloomy with the glary eyes like I have right now with like 2 hours of sleep. I don't know if I want one of those photos. I don't know if I want that portrait.
James Baldwin had glaring eyes and wrinkles all over his face.
Yeah,
and tired at times, but boy, he was his face was a work of art.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that. We're going to have to plan mine out. So real quick though, before Amaris gets to ask you her question and before we get ready to go into this next break, the community people, because we didn't name them.
Okay. These are community leadership awards and, mm-hmm. and basically unsung heroes in the community that are making a big difference. So we give them $500 so that they can continue their work in the community. And just getting to that right this second, sorry. Abu Edwards, who's from the NAACP, he's the head of a committee and has really done a lot of very, very good work with getting people out, getting the vote out for this next election, which we all know is extremely important.
Okay.
Then we have Mecca Robinson, who runs several shelters, homeless shelters across the city. She's a very, very dynamic person. Charlotte Greer Brown, who is an educator and runs her own program in physical therapy. Monique Dudley, who by the state is contracted to do internships across the city.
Okay.
And so she's been very successful at that, but she's also been very successful at training people to work in the dental care business.
Okay.
And so all of that is very important.
Okay.
And we have a newspaper out around town where you can actually see the biographies of these people.
Okay. Is there anywhere in particular that people can pick up that information or on your website so they can read?
It's definitely on our website, PhiladelphiaLegacies.org.
Okay.
And
do we have tickets
scattered around town in different restaurants and coffee shops?
Okay. Are there still tickets available? Can people still come out if they want to hang out with us?
They can come out. It is a fundraiser. Okay. As you know, we do several dinners throughout the year, and none of them cost money. Those are networking affairs. And a lot of really, really interesting and good things have come out of those
mm-hmm.
those interactions. But this is our big fundraiser.
Okay.
So you can certainly show up, or my number is 215-432-2898. 215-432-2898. And we can talk further about tickets.
Okay. So I guess we're getting ready to go into our next break. Thank you, Steve, for calling in. You have to come hang out with me one Monday. You can come in
and
bust it up, and we can talk some history stuff and have some of the Cherie and Steve fights. I think that people would find that quite interesting and quite hilarious.
And then I'll ask my question.
Oh, here.
Oh, yeah.
Amaris No, she's going to ask you this question before we go because she really wanted to ask this, and this
is
important.
I was looking forward to it. So
there we go. You ready?
Cutting off.
Yeah. No. You ready? Go.
All right. So I'm actually curious as to how you come about choosing who you're going to do the portraits of and, you know, honor. Mm.
Well, in terms of the portraits, there's they have to have a long legacy and have made an important impact over a long period of time. Besides that, it's kind of works artistically. So, you know, we kind of just work it together. I consult a lot of different people. Usually we start out doing four. This year we're doing six all of a sudden. And there's just so many people to do, and we always want to do more. But that's sort of the way that we do it.
I mean, aside from just the how legendary and impactful that, you know, the people that you honor are, do you also come down to choosing somebody based on the personality? Because you said through conversations, like, so I assume that there's a discussion behind scenes. So do their personalities play a role in how they're chosen?
Yeah, I guess their personality does. I mean, the thing that I'm interested in is really getting to know their background and their history and what their lives have been like, who their friends were. I mean, it's just really interesting to me, you know, because I knew Tina Sloan Green from seeing her at Larry Robbins events, but I just knew her from a distance. I didn't, you know much about her. I saw her book and I bought it. But besides that, you know, when we honored John Chaney brought her, and then I got to know her better. And then her husband, when we were meeting in her living room, says, "I've been watching you for 30 years because I wrote the first article about you when you came to town." So that was a surprise. And then getting to know him and the tennis. And then, you know, Nikki Frank, I had just heard about her on the radio. And I, you know, when I was at their house, I said, you know, about this fencing person, Nikki Frank. Oh, yeah, she was a co-sponsor. So it kind of works like that. And the history evolves and the people evolves and the relationships and the different time periods that they were coming up when their careers were coming up and all of those things are extremely interesting to me. And that's where the real fun is. And then working with the artists and helping to depict their lives and those kind of things is also another process. But it takes time. That's been a very nice thing for me, you know, in the last 7 years to have the opportunity to do that.
All right. So let me go into my commercial break. I'm breaking my own rules right now. So I'm going to go into this break, and then we're going to finish tonight. I hope you'll stick around and listen in. We're talking about domestic violence because we just walked into this month.
And yeah, I was
it's an important conversation. So we have both of my girls on talking about experiences, talking about the book, and some of the things we're going to continue to do for the community. So we're going to take a break right now. You've been listening to The Inside Scoop. Please stick around and hang in. We'll be talking about domestic violence for the next 20 minutes or so.
If you want to listen to the rest of The Inside Scoop, please listen to NPN HD2 97.5 Radio and the WWDB 860 app.
WWDB AM now concludes its normal broadcast day. WWDB is licensed to operate on 860 kHz in Philadelphia with studio locations in Bala Cynwyd. WWDB is owned and operated by Beasley Broadcast Group.
Living Beyond COVID, third Wednesday of each month, join Scoop USA Community Education Program for Living Beyond COVID, where we'll be having a community conversation about where we were, where we are, where we will or want to be. We'll also discuss COVID topics, health and wellness, finances, education, technology, etc.
Every day is a scoop day. Read online or pick up a paper at various locations citywide and find out what's happening in our community. Get social with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you just might become a Scoop USA winner during one of our promotional campaigns. Share your voice, post your thoughts, stay engaged, and get Scoop. Scoop USA, Black owned, Black run, Black excellence. Get scooped.
Do you have a community interest story? Tell us about it, and it may be featured in our next Scoop USA article or radio show. Whether it's a personal talent or a community service endeavor, we want to know. Contact us at scoopusamedia.com with your information, and a Scoop USA team member will respond to your inquiry. We are a community that builds from the ground up, and we thank you for being part of our foundation. Scoop USA, Black owned, Black run, Black excellence. Get scooped.
So, those commercial breaks, they go so quick.
Yeah, they do.
They like, it's a snap.
Right.
So, ladies, we still here?
Yeah.
I hope you guys have gotten over the headaches and the sinus can give me 5 minutes.
Yeah, we can.
I gave you those 5 minutes.
I'm multitasking, but I'm here.
So, you have anything that you want to start off with, or are you waiting for me to start?
No, I don't need you to start. It's something I'm very familiar with. I guess piggybacking back to the conversation we were having, I guess I'm living now in a state where it's like it's still a culture shock of what domestic violence is. I find myself talking to a lot of my friends who are in abusive situations or relationships and not understanding what the abuse part of it is. So back to what Tiana was saying about, you know, when you say domestic violence or abuse, people automatically assume that it has to be in a physical form.
Right.
When the largest amount of abuse that we actually see is emotional or mental abuse.
Right.
So what that looks like is, you know, in a state of like someone just beating you down verbally, and it doesn't have to be any cussing or any like foul language, but it's at their leisure when they are making comments like that they know is going to hurt you or make you second guess or question things about yourself. And people don't understand that that's a form of abuse as well, because the abuser always finds a way to channel in this positive, nice side that's going to will them back in. And it's like, oh, well, this person is such an amazing person. And like Tiana was actually saying, that is the start of a form of physical abuse that will later probably be introduced. And it doesn't always take that form. You know, like I said, abuse doesn't always have to be physical. It doesn't always lead up to physical. But the amount of mental and emotional abuse that women or men may go through in relationships can actually lead to other mental health issues like suicidal ideation. If you have someone badgering you to a point where you really don't have faith or understanding of yourself, and you then commit to this life that you don't love, the only way you find ways to actually get rid of these things is by ending your own life. So in a sense of physical abuse and mental abuse, I think on my side of things, that mental and emotional abuse is more harmful than physical, in a sense, to me.
So,
I don't know.
So would you say this? Because what bothers me, and I think I'll never get over the different things that I've experienced in life. I have nightmares. I get really scared and nervous, and with my daughters I'm extra protective and I'm crazy, you know, but it just, I can't seem to grasp the fact that somebody, an abuser, would take the time to learn your weaknesses and learn enough about you, and then use those things to capitalize and control and manipulate you. That to me is like huge. It's like you actually invest time in, yeah. in, and trying to identify the things that are wrong with me so that you can then take advantage of me.
In the sense that not everybody takes that time. Like abusers, you have to look at it in this perspective. Abusers are 9 times out of 10 people who have been physically, mentally, or emotionally abused themselves. So they know key factors to look for. It don't take time for them to invest. They already come in with a negative component. Mm. It's invested in their mind to think these negative things about you. So you could be the best person on earth.
And their goal is to break you down?
Yes, but they're automatically going to think that you're the most horrible person. They might call you whores, or excuse my French, they might call you out your name. And you could be home every day, cooking and cleaning, like Tiana said, and doing everything you're supposed to do as a woman or a male, you know, taking care of your kids. And then they already see the negative components in the sense that, you know, like I working in the schools now, I see abuse in a different light. Abuse comes in a channel and a bullying. So you have bullies who start at a very young age who also invest that time in saying mean things to people or harming people and not knowing that that is a form of abuse, which is the reason why we see an increase in inflection of suicidal ideation in kids, because this is a form of an abuse, because these kids are going home and then seeing these abusive relationships with their parents or people in their environments, and then they come and they invest these things into the friendships they have in school. They think of it as jokes when it's nothing to be, you know, played around with, because kids are killing themselves and committing suicide, or have suicidal ideation thoughts of harming themselves. So abuse is a sense of something that can start as early as 5 or 6 years old, and they can channel all the way up. So these abusers, 9 times out of 10, are people who have been victimized and were abused at an early age or were bullied, and they don't know how to channel their own emotional state. So they kind of push it off to the next person. And how can I make myself feel better about making this person feel worse?
Tiana, you got something to say about that?
Yes, and then I was just thinking about people who are narcissistic. And a lot of times these people, I mean, they get a thrill out of it. They really get a thrill out of it. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. And like they don't have nothing to do with your pain. And they are behind it. And I know they say, like, hurt people hurt people. So the cycle is continued. Like, they go out and hurt people. And if people don't recover from what they've been through, you know, they'll move on a relationship and either allow themselves to be hurt again, or they might act out and start hurting people. So one of the things I think about society now, it's good that people aren't, well, some people still had a taboo about getting help. And I just think that it's been a lot of work, and there will be continued work for people to deal with their mental health, and people have to deal with their past. People really need to heal so they can stop hurting yourself and others. So I'm so proud, you know, of Shamel for the work that she's doing for this conversation and for other people that are, like, letting people know you don't have to be hurt and you don't have to hurt people. And the more that we can have these conversations, because I wouldn't even be a surprise, like when Shamel was just saying about a bully not even knowing that they're a bully. Like, I don't know if you got, like, I love, like, certain cool classics. So Hocus Pocus 2 came out, and I was all excited, watched it by myself. And one of the characters on there, the actress tells the guy, like, you're a bully. Like, you say mean things to people, you know, in front of other people about them, exposing them. And he was like, that's a bully? Oh, I'm just used to saying it. Like, some people might not even know that they're doing stuff, and I think it's good, like, even just using that in a movie will give people who do that, hey, maybe that could be me. So if we had these conversations and kind of bring things up to people, I think it just puts it in front of your face, and you can either deal with it or people will learn how to protect themselves from you.
So a little side. So I just watched, well, Hocus Pocus 2 just watched me. So I was asleep the entire time it was on. I was knocked out literally, what was it, an hour ago, Shamel, when you got there? You was like, this is watching you. So I guess I have to try that again.
And you know, that's funny because when busy people are so busy, we don't have time to watch TV or anything like that. So we'll come home and we're like, oh, I'm going to, I have some time. I'll try to watch it. And before you know it, you're zonked.
Exactly.
It's like, she's going to bring this up. Now I really feel some kind of way about the fact that it was watching me.
Well, it is called Hocus Pocus.
I literally looked at the TV and I was like, and it's over? So, we have to lighten up the mood all of the time when we talk about topics like this, because we can all walk away feeling completely, completely like withdrawn, taken away, because this is a heavy topic.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an important heavy topic, though.
Right.
Because one of the ways to prevent these type situations is as education and having these conversations and hopefully being comfortable enough to have those conversations. Like Tiana, with the woman that you said you observed and you were kind of like, you know, it's hard. You know, it's extremely hard to bring to somebody's attention something that you see, particularly if, oh my God, let it be somebody you know. You're jealous. All of these things that come into play, you know, the emotion and the lack of wanting to be aware. So I'll say what I learned as a parent, and it's weird because as I learned as a parent was the same thing that my grandmother and my mother learned, because abuse in my family has taken on, I want to say, 4 or 5 generations. I mean, and I've realized in the past couple of years, like, I kind of have blocked out maybe my entire early childhood years from like 7 to like 15. I don't remember none of that stuff. And there's a reason why. And there's because my mother had a boyfriend. I think I was at 9 years old and he was fighting her and said that he was going to hit me in the head with a hammer because I was hollering, please stop hitting my mom. But those type things, and that's all I remember pretty much from 9. I remember where I lived. I remember going to school. I can't tell you much about my life except that I lived. I know that I lived. I'm still alive.
Yeah.
But the day-to-day things, block them out. And I know, and anybody who's in therapy knows that that's a coping mechanism. That's how we get through and we like block it completely out. But I learned. I watched my mom. And then when I got to the point where I was abused, it was weird, extremely weird, because after a while, my mom stopped chasing me. And she said, I'm giving you to God, because this has to be a decision for you. You have to decide that your life is more valuable. And I had my daughter, and she was 2, 3, and I had to decide. And the way I got out of my situation was I had to think about health and wealth and the fact that I had a baby who had nobody else but me. And I had to decide that her life and my life and my wellness and my ability to care for her was more important than anything that this person could ever give me. So the trade-off was me or you, you know. And when I got to the point where my daughter was going through the same thing, it was weird to me because I had to kind of like pull back from her. And I couldn't get it. It was like, what the hell is this? Like, is this the way that it has to go? And I chased and I chased and I threatened for about a year. It's like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then it came to a point where I said, I got to give you to God, because I can't keep doing this. And you have to understand this. And I had to put my hands up and pray and say, like, I'm here when you're ready. And it was just a matter of that. And then she made her own decisions. So when you're going through these things, it's a tough conversation to have. It really is. And I think that's what it hurts so much, you know, is that it is a tough conversation to have. And we have to keep having it because you never know exactly who's listening.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so we only got a few minutes left, ladies, but we want to, I guess, reiterate. Tiana, can you please share with some people? And Shamel, you share with some people that we do have copies of the book in the office. We are going to, for the month of October, try to give out some of the books so that we can help as many people as we possibly can, which means I'm going to have to bring you some more so you can sign them and sign away. I wasn't going to tell the world that you was having a baby. That was for you.
But you know, it's kind of cool in a way because I finally, being in a different space mentally, physically, you know, I've given myself, it's okay for me to be pregnant. It's okay for me to even be dealing with these pregnant symptoms and being preparing to be a mom. And I think being a teen mom, it kind of, I didn't have that same concept where it was like, oh, you're pregnant, congratulations. It was like, ooh, child, yeah. How old is she? So now it's like, I'm in a different space with it. So it was like, it's okay. It's like, I told everybody, I don't mind. I just don't want you to be asking me how much weight I gained. Like, let that be for me.
I'll tell you, as somebody who had both extremes, a younger mom as well as a older mom, geriatrics. I was 36. Uh-huh. The one thing that's different, the kids are different. The mentality, the mental state, a kid that you grow up with versus one that you raise is completely different.
Yeah.
It's completely different. Charmel's like, she not like me at all. but it's a completely different world. So you have to accept that and just appreciate it because it's two different extremes. It really is when you're in a marriage and a relationship and you're settled. You know, and you're not doing the single parent thing. The single parent thing is work. You put in much work.
Yeah. So, and I hope that, you know, coming from a place where I would never want anybody to be suffering from abuse, just being through so much, knowing that there's another side, that's why I hopefully, like, people read the book or other books like that or get information or hear people's testimonies that they do know it is a different way of life, you know, going from a place where all you were doing was surviving to actually being able to appreciate your life. Like, there's nothing like taking time sometimes to just smell the roses, like sometimes to just pull up to your house and like, thank you, universe, thank you, like what I've been through, where I am today, and just appreciating it. And I'm so thankful to have gone through what I've gone through to be able to share. And I do hope that people want to read this book because it, to me, is not a double downer. It's information and it's for so many different people. It's not just for females. It's for males, young, old, in between. So if they would, you know, just subscribe to information, getting some new information, not only can you change yourself, because the more you educate yourself, you can help others. You know, that's the whole goal. Help yourself, but then help your community. Because we do so much when we can come together for a purpose and have a goal. So that's my input.
So with that, Charmel, are you closing or are you good?
I'm good.
Okay.
It's nice to see you guys. I'll continue to try to do my part and my work. I guess that's benefiting to the country and the world. And your grandson says hello.
I hear him. So with that said, I want to thank you both for coming on and always supporting me. I pull things and I'm like, y'all, I need y'all. Come help me with this. So it's a wonderful thing to have blood daughters, adopted daughters. I have 10. I have so many daughters. But I want to thank you for coming on today and helping us share this narrative. People, contact the Scoop office, 215-309-3139. You can call us. We do have some books, and we do want to get this information out. This is Domestic Violence Month. It means so much to us that we help as many people as we possibly can. So with that said, I want to thank you for joining us today, and you've been listening to The Inside Scoop.